tuned in to the Community Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Community Cats Podcast. I am your host, Stacey LeBaron. I've been involved helping homeless cats for over 20 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. And today we're speaking with Tracy Dean. From her involvement starting a grassroots animal welfare spay-neuter nonprofit in 1994 to today, Tracy is grateful to be working on the issues that mean the most to her. Dean's first career was in advertising, public relations, and she was a graphic designer until 2000. She left the field to serve as director of the SPCA of Northern Nevada from 2000 to 2003, and she has been a TNR volunteer since 1999 up to the present. She previously served on the Reno Animal Services Advisory Board. Early in 2022, she was given the opportunity to take over the local Community Cats 501c3 nonprofit organization. The group provides factual information to local residents regarding the benefits of TNR and spay-neuter, plus assists other local groups. Community Cats is an all-volunteer organization, and donations are used to pay for TNR clinic expenses. Community Cats received a proclamation from the City of Reno to declare October 16th Global Cat Day. The group has helped over 450 cats and kittens so far in 2023. She hopes to collaborate with previous guests on our podcast, like Dr. John Boone, on Counting Cats projects in the near future. With all its ups and downs in the animal world, we still have the determination that we can make the lives of cats and people better. Tracy, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you very much.
So before we get jumping into all of the great stuff that you are doing in the Reno area, first and foremost, how'd you get to be passionate about cats?
I don't know that I've always been the cat passion person. I love animals, of course. I just saw that cats were more vulnerable and they needed more help. I have dogs too. I love dogs too. So I'm not choosing one or the other, but cats do need more help, I feel.
So how did you discover that?
Just their population. I think that's always been my core belief, is about spay-neuter's the answer. And so the population of cats just seems to be so much more overwhelming.
So you've been involved with TNR for quite a while. When did you first discover trap, neuter, and return?
It was 1999. Where I live, there were some cats roaming around. And I had been a volunteer just barely at that point with the SPCA of Northern Nevada. And so that's when I became aware of TNR. So I was starting to do that a little bit. And we were starting to do that at the SPCA back then. And then we got those first little tiny grants, very tiny by today's standards. And I'm like, we got to get some cats into the clinic. I guess that's what my job is now, too. As executive director, I was out going to be the cat trapper to start us off. But many people became involved very quickly with us there.
So you want to share with us a little bit of your experience trapping your first cat? What was it like, your first cat or first colony of cats?
The first colony was this great big story about these larger than usual cats that lived on this big vacant lot near downtown Reno. And they were fed by a person named Mary, hauled her little cart down there to feed them. And she actually asked me when I met her, how could she help me? I was so touched by that because she really was dedicated to the cats and all the other animals that lived on this great big vacant lot in downtown Reno. So that was an interesting place, and it still, the cats were no different, of course, than any other cats. That was kind of where I started and met a bunch of wonderful people. I think that's the biggest thing, too, is that you meet some really good people that do care about cats, too, and are trying to take care of them. And we can just offer them a little bit of help to the spay-neuter part of that.
That's interesting that you say that, because so many people feel like nobody cares about community cats or outdoor kitties or feral cats. We hear so many comments around that. But then I feel like when you get into a community and you're offering them affordable spay-neuter services, whether it is for outdoor TNR or for owned cats, we get a massive response of support and an acknowledgement that there really is a desire to get spay-neuter out there for cats. Do you believe in that?
Absolutely. And there's a stigma about feeding cats or taking care of cats, and you're a crazy cat person, that's what you're going to get labeled. And I have met the most tough, crusty guys that are working in a mechanic shop or something, and then they show me their heated cat beds that they have. And when they come in and they get the food ready for the cats. So it's something that I think is just plain human nature to take care of these animals that show up. And everybody knows they didn't ask for this. They didn't ask to be here and trying to survive the best they can. So that's the kind of people we want to be around and help, where we might not be able to change everybody's mind, but we definitely can give others the information and the ability and open up the access, remove the obstacles that keep us from doing the right thing as a community. And that's what I'm hoping Community Cats can continue to do here in our Washoe County area.
Many of our listeners are very new to trap, neuter, and return. They really don't understand, how does a colony of outdoor cats, how does that really start?
Well, a common way is just a cat left behind by somebody or lost from somebody that is not fixed. And there are just certain areas where the resources are that cats are going to be. And if that cat finds itself out roaming around, it goes to where the resources are. And there's usually a couple of other cats already there. And then it just goes out from there exponentially. So I think that's maybe one of the biggest ways. And there's just areas. Cats that had 20 cats 20 years ago have cats today. Just that's the way things are. They just need to be not reproducing cats. But I would probably say that's one of the main ways.
So you're saying that it starts from a cat getting outside or left behind. Domestic cats will start the process, especially considering they're not spayed or neutered. And so they can have kittens very easily.
Yes, I believe that's one of the main ways. And then cats are getting lost, getting removed from their places, moved to somewhere else and let go. And because people don't know what to do and they're concerned, maybe, or not.
Yeah, one thing we'll put in the show notes is if you do see a very friendly cat in your backyard and you're not sure whether that cat is owned or not, we at the Community Cats Podcast highly recommend you use a paper collar on that cat for 2 weeks. So we have a paper collar template, and that's the due diligence that we offer. It's really very affordable. If the cat rips off a collar, you just put another one on. This is assuming the cat is friendly and social to you, and you're concerned and you want to know who that owner is. You put that paper collar on that cat for a two-week period, and if somebody doesn't contact you back, then you've done a high level of due diligence to try and find an owner for that cat. Then you can work on a potential rescue plan from there. But in the 5 cases that I had over a period of time last summer, where people used paper collars because they thought that cat was definitely not owned by anybody, an owner was identified with a paper collar. So it really is something we utilize a lot here in New England before a shelter will be willing to take a cat in, is to say, have you paper collared that cat? It's an interesting phrase we use, but that's the due diligence that we've done to ensure that we know that cat does not have a designated caretaker at that point in time.
That's a really, really good idea.
Thank you.
Really good.
And we do have that template, and we'll make sure we put that in the show notes for you. One of the things that is really great to hear about the work that you're doing is talking about having organizations work together in order to create a really sustainable community that supports trap, neuter, return, as well as supporting spay, neuter capacity. We have a lot of challenges right now going on across the country with regards to our veterinarians and our technicians and our clinics being overwhelmed and understaffed. And even at the shelter level, they are also overwhelmed and understaffed. So we need to make sure we are efficient and effective through communication, working together. In Reno, it sounds like you're trying to put together a coalition of organizations. Can you tell me a little bit about that project?
I think that when Community Cats was given to me in 2022, that was one of the main goals that I had, is to use Community Cats as a vehicle. And my goal was to get our larger groups and the smaller groups eventually all in a movement that can do more, because we can accomplish a lot more when we're all working together more efficiently. There's been a real shift in our county as far as, like you were saying, about shortages of staff and the stresses of the missions that all of the groups have. And I think that it is a good opportunity to evaluate what we have going on, what we need to cover. We want to have a safety net and fill the gaps that have been starting to get larger and larger. You know, TNR is so close, we related to Spay-Neuter. I interchange them a lot because that's what TNR is mostly, is can be called Spay-Neuter. And those, the tie to the pet cats is extremely tight. And where you have issues with friendlies not being able to get fixed, difficulties in the obstacles that are there, and doing the TNR faces the same obstacles and resources, and the challenges are still there. So I think that was what I really felt that Community Cats hopefully could do, was to evaluate what was currently available and realigning it, if we could, to cover the bases for cats.
Do you feel that the small grassroots organizations and then the larger municipal organizations, do you feel like they have a full understanding of what each party is really able to do?
I don't. It takes a while to build that. And maybe it can be considered a question of trust, maybe confidence, stability. I do think, and we probably all think that we know what everybody's doing, and maybe we did at one point, but things are shifting, things are changing, and I don't know that there's a full appreciation or understanding for everybody. And I do think that that's part of it, is appreciating what every entity brings in, because I can tell you that there are no easy jobs in the animal world, I don't believe.
For sure.
So everybody is carrying a burden, and they maybe just need to know there's some support available.
I was one of the early members of the Massachusetts Animal Coalition, and we used to meet in person. They were founded in 2000. So back in the day, they would have quarterly in-person meetings. And in the first couple of years, there was a lot of stress in the room between the rescues and the, what I'll call, brick and mortar shelters. We did a lot of events where we had a section called Day in the Life. And we rotated around and shared what a day in the life was in a law enforcement officer, or what it was like for them to go through a hoarding situation, what it was like for a rescue to go through a hoarding situation, what it's like in a brick and mortar shelter running their programs, dealing with semi-feral kittens and making decisions there. So it was really just trying to understand, what are all the challenges of a rescue or a TNR group going out and trapping and then not having a place to transfer kittens that can be socialized. And therefore, that whole trapping pipeline stops because it's all backed up, because you have kittens that need to be transferred to an adoption organization and you've filled up your holding area with cats that are waiting for space at the inn, is what I used to always call it. It slows the whole cogs of the wheel from turning and makes it, especially in the summertime, it makes it really impossible because you're starting to triage. And it just, again, that capacity, we use this phrase, capacity to care. I want an elephant-sized capacity to care in these summer months where the days are longer and the cats have more litters. And then there's a bit of a contraction period in the winter months. So the capacity to care is different, but there's got to be this breathability, which I find that sometimes is really hard for us all to understand.
Absolutely.
Are you passionate about the well-being of feline leukemia-positive cats, or would you like to learn more about FELV? Then mark your calendars for a truly special occasion. The Community Cats podcast proudly presents our highly anticipated event, Online Feline Leukemia Day, presented in partnership with the Tompkins Foundation. Join us on July 13th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Time
for an enriching experience where leading experts from veterinarians to shelter specialists converge to share cutting-edge insights on feline leukemia studies and advancements in care. Discover invaluable suggestions to initiate and uphold policies and programs aimed at finding loving homes for these special kitties through fostering and adoption. Don't miss out on an opportunity to make a difference. Join us for this virtual conference and be a part of the compassionate movement to care for our FELV-positive furry friends. Go to communitycatspodcast.com/FELVday to save your virtual seat. Again, space is limited, so don't wait. Visit communitycatspodcast.com/FELVday to register today.
Tomahawk Live Trap exceeds customers' expectations by providing them with the highest quality humane animal control products available. Check out their new Pro Series Gravity Door Trap. They feature a door that sets automatically when you open it. No hook or plate setting needed. Use discount code KEEPITHUMANE for 10% off your order at livetrap.com. Are you getting your message across to your entire community? Do they know what programs you offer and what they can do to help? Learn more about how to effectively market your organization or just sharpen your skills with a free self-paced marketing course, The Fundamentals of Marketing on Maddie's University. The course is designed to provide a basic understanding of marketing and provide you with templates and tools to elevate and improve your organization's brand, voice, and audience, and have fun while doing it. You'll receive a strategic marketing plan template to download free. Go to university.maddiesfund.org and search marketing to enroll now. Are you a proud cat parent looking for the perfect, affordable health care for your kitty? Well, look no further than the Community Cat Clinic, conveniently located in Woodstock, Georgia, just north of Atlanta and not too far from the Tennessee and South Carolina borders. The health and happiness of all cats are the top priorities at this feline-only hospital. From preventative care, spay, neuter, and vaccines, to specialized and innovative treatments like full mouth dental, ultrasound, radio, iodine therapy, emergency blockage cases, they've got your cat's well-being covered. For the TNR community and local shelters, they offer easy-to-access, low-cost spay-neuter services and volume appointments. So if you want to do a large TNR project, this is the clinic you want to go to. It's worth the extra trip. Appointments are available most days. Check out the Community Cat Clinic online at communitycatclinic.com or visit them in person at the Walmart Shopping Center at the Shops of Trickum on Highway 92 at Trickum Road in Woodstock, Georgia. More purr, less price.
Tracy, you mentioned a term called Community Cats 2.0. What is that?
Well, I guess when the group came to me in 2022, I kind of felt like, because it started out with different people, the mission was a little bit different. It was all about TNR, but there were different resources and the individuals included in that organization from the beginning was different. And I came into this as I just didn't want little community cats, grassroots, scrappy little group to die off. So I kind of consider this now we're in a new day. We're 22 years in, and let's maybe redefine it a little bit. And that's when I got the group. I really wasn't sure what we're going to be able to accomplish. And being very small, being extremely grassroots, for me, my passion is still to do actually the field work. Boots on the ground is what I define it to the other municipalities and the larger groups that are around here that don't have staff anymore. So we are the boots on the ground that are out doing TNR, and that's what I really love to do. And at the same time, I've got a 501c3. I've got to pay attention to money, fundraising, marketing, public relations, websites, social media, and that's a whole other thing that I have not been really involved with. I was just the volunteer keeping my head down and fixing cats and helping as many people as I could and helping to fix some dogs along the way that you encounter that people have and they want to get that kind of help too. So that's kind of what I think. It's just a new day. We still have our cats out there, but things are different and we just have to address them differently. And I'm a different person and I'm not a veterinarian and I don't have a clinic by myself to run either. So it's just a different time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can have your own clinic. I know there are laws in every state, but we have several people that I know that are not veterinarians in certain states
Flatbush Cats in Brooklyn, New York. They've opened a clinic, and that has been spearheaded by Will Zweigart, who is a real marketing guru. And really, if you have the passion and you need to create more spay-neuter capacity, or you have the passion, you need to create more TNR capacity, don't say no. Basically, you're seeing it and you need to solve it. We all need to be part of the solution and work to solve it. So that's my theme in 2024 this year on the podcast, which is see it, solve it. And we at the Community Cats Podcast are here to offer those resources to help you be able to be even more successful in your community. And building spay-neuter capacity is just such a huge component to that. I think if we don't have enough spay-neuter in our targeted areas, I don't see how we can be successful. And it is a great challenge. And the United Spay Alliance is doing a lot of work to try and figure out solutions for us all across the country in order to increase our spay-neuter capacity. But we all can make a difference, and we can do that too. Tracy, if folks are interested in finding out more about your organization, Community Cats, how would they do that?
Well, we do have a website, communitycatsofreno.org. To reach me, communitycatsofreno@yahoo.com. The website is there. I have a great volunteer that's put together what's there. And I appreciate that a great deal, because that is not something I was going to be able to fit into my work life. And I call this my work, even though I volunteer. I make no salary, but this is my work. And the website is up. It's got current information in it. There's plenty of stories on there and information on there. But that's the main ways.
Tracy, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Everybody that I speak with, I just emphasize that we are the answer. We are the solution, and you need to be part of the solution. Nobody's going to ride in and save all the cats and we can just rest and forget about it. It's going to be taken care of. It's become known that we all need to be working on whatever our passion is. In my case, it's the spay-neuter part, because I do believe that's the answer ultimately. And to just seek help. We've had some challenges here of people really having to look for help. So we always need volunteers to do more of the social media side, make it easier to find out about Community Cats or one of the other organizations here that is here to help. I'm hoping to get more referrals. That's what I do. I get referrals from the big groups that used to have staff and don't anymore. We just hope to answer the call more than we are able. We need more volunteers, more help. Advisory board people are helpful to me just to maybe send some ideas back and forth with them. So we are the solution, and we all can step up and realize that nobody knew how to trap a cat 20 years ago, probably. And we all can do it. Pretty much, we can do some part of it. It might be drive cats to the clinic or pick them up from the clinic, but there's always ways that people can help, and we all need to step in and do that.
Excellent. Yeah, Tracy, I used to tell my crew at the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society, I used to share with them, for every trapper that I had out there, I needed 4 people fundraising for them. So I can appreciate all the administrative work that you do and the fundraising efforts you do in order to raise the necessary resources to be able to do the spay-neuter surgeries that we need for trap-neuter return. So thank you so much for all that you do. And thank you for agreeing to be a guest on my show. And I hope we'll have you on again in the future.
I thank you so much, Stacey. It's been a pleasure.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.